Welcome to the Grace Abounding broadcast, sponsored by the Congregation of the Shreveport Grace Church in Shreveport, Louisiana. My name is Ken Weimer, and it is my privilege to minister the Word of God for you today. May the Lord Jesus Christ be praised and exalted through the message preached, and may He, by His Spirit of grace, grant ears to hear to each one He came to save and ransom by His shed blood on the cross. All right, let's take our Bibles and look together in Psalm 67. And I want us to consider what is true praise to God. I know this is a term that is very common on people's lips today, praise God, or we had a prayer and praise service yesterday. This is how they describe different types of worship, but it begs the question, really two questions. What is it to praise God, and who is the God that we are to praise? And these are praise psalms that we're considering together here. So this is not a long psalm, but it is certainly a very deep psalm. Psalm 67, to the chief musician on Niganoth, the psalm or song. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us, that Thy way may be known upon earth, Thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise Thee, O God, let all the people praise Thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For Thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Let the people praise Thee, O God, let all the people praise Thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we pause for these few moments to open Your Word, once again, I do thank You for bringing us here. I thank You for drawing us aside and giving us this quiet, a time to open Your Word and reflect upon these inspired words and how they point us to Yourself through Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that great work of redemption accomplished for sinners such as we are. I pray that the Spirit would be our teacher again today. Left to ourselves, we're nothing and we're lost. But by Your Spirit being our teacher, directing our minds and hearts to Your blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll be indeed blessed. And it's for such a blessing that we do ask for Your presence even now. And we give You all the praise and the glory in our dear Savior's name. Amen. So this psalm begins with, let the people praise Thee in verse 3 of our text, O God. And notice the repetition, let all the people praise Thee. And again, it's repeated down in verse 5, let all the people praise Thee. The word that's used here for praise is one actually of seven different words that we find in Scripture that can be used for praise. And in this particular context, it is a word which describes a demonstration of love and submission to the Lord. And in the day, it was typically demonstrated by the raising of hands. Now, you'll see some raising their hands today and kind of going back and forth. And this is where they get that expression. It means to lift the hands to the Lord in total submission and devotion. Now, that assumes already then a work of grace. It assumes that one has been taught of the Spirit. And I don't want to get hung up today on positions of prayer. I know that in most congregations, the tradition is to bow your head, close your eyes, and someone leads in prayer. But as you study the scriptures, there were numerous positions of prayer. One might be simply bowed down, as you see some today holding their knees with their head down and praying. As this indicates a raising of the hand toward heaven and addressing God with the hands raised. A looking up to heaven. Our Lord looked up to heaven and addressed his Father. And also we find, even like with Abraham, where he was found prostrate before the Lord, he was flat on his face before the Lord. And so there are numerous positions of the body that can be addressed, but as with anything, it's not the position of the body, but the position of the heart. And I believe that that is what needs to be addressed here, the lifting of the hands to the Lord. And I've been in some meetings where some have felt the need to do that. That does not bother me at all, but I always question, what is the position of my heart? It matters not the position of the body. I think there's a lot of show. There's a lot of outward demonstration of religion in what men do, and yet their hearts are still lost. If you look over in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 41, notice how it's put here, because this is the word of praise, the same word praise in the original that's used here in Lamentations 3 and verse 41. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. See, a lot of people just say, well, let's lift your hands toward heaven. No, let us lift up our heart. Out of the heart are the issues of life. Out of the heart, confession is made unto salvation. And so here, this word that's used for praise in Psalm 67 and verse 3 is designed to indicate that. It's a demonstration of a heart that has been wrought upon by the grace of God and therefore addresses that praise to God for who he is and for what he has accomplished. Now, as you go through scripture, and this to me shows, just as in creation, you just see a variety of colors. Take a look at the rainbow. How can you even define a rainbow? Sometimes you try to draw it, but just the spectrum of colors that's there. And that's just one beauty of God's creation that he's made. You look out to the stars. You stop and think, not one snowflake is identical to the other. You think about all of the billions of people that live on the earth. Why do they take a fingerprint of each individual? Not one fingerprint is alike. That just amazes me when you stop and consider the variety that there is in the physical creation of God. But more so, stop and think about the variety, the multitudinous manifestations of the grace of God spiritually in the hearts of his people, and how he directs those hearts differently at different times, cause that one to praise his name. And that's what I see with this word praise. There are actually seven different words that are used in scripture for praise. We've just looked at one here, and it's repeated down in verse 5. Same word. Let the people lift up their hearts and their hands to thee, O God. Let all the people lift up their heart and hands to thee. That would be how that praise is manifest there. But again, this is not designed to be something mechanical. It's designed to show us that that is what it is to praise the Lord, is to acknowledge His sovereignty and to express back to Him in love. John wrote, we love Him because He first loved us. So express back to Him that love for His love toward us. But there's another word that is used for praise, and we're just going to quickly go through a few of these so you can see this variety. This word means the sacrifice of praise. And it has to do, when you stop and think of a sacrifice, is it easy to praise the Lord at all times? Well, we should, but to say it's easy, it's like a sacrifice. A sacrifice of praise is giving up that which has cost us something. And that's why the Lord says through Paul, the instruction is to let your requests be made known unto God with thanksgiving. Not just making them known unto God, but being true to what that heart is. When we read the Psalms here, how many times we read what the psalmist expressed that we think if I said that, God might strike me dead. But prayer and praise is simply expressing back to God exactly what the heart is thinking and feeling, whether we feel like praising the Lord or not. Praising Him even through many ongoing trials. This is the sacrifice of praise. And that's a word that is used throughout the scriptures to describe this praise. If you look over in Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 11, the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that all say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for His mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise unto the house of the Lord, for I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first, saith the Lord. So when were these instructed to praise the Lord? When were these instructed to offer the sacrifice of praise to the Lord? It was while they were still in captivity. Our circumstances in life, I don't care how difficult the trial, should not affect whether or not we praise God or not. He is good at all times. And I know that that's become a slogan. I've seen it plastered it around. But again, this is a matter of the heart bowing to His sovereignty and owning that even in this, the Lord is directing and I will praise Him. As Job said, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. To trust is to praise. And it may be that we're brought to confess, Lord, I don't know how this is working together for good, but I know that You are good and that You do work all things together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. That's what it is to love God. You've been called according to His purpose. So that's another word that's used for praise. A third word that is used for praise is to bow down. This is why I say you can't just pick one expression and say, okay, everybody, now we're going to raise our hands to praise God. There is a bowing down. If you look in Psalm 95 and verse 6, here we see that word used for praise. And again, it is the effect of being completely overwhelmed by God's majesty and awe that would bring you to bow at his feet in submission and honor to the Lord. That's the word that's used here in Psalm 95 and verse 6. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Now again, it's not a position of the body that matters here. As we come together for worship, we pray for a spirit of worship. It's a bowing down of the heart before the Lord. I don't care what the circumstances are out in this world. When we come in to worship, that's what it is. To praise him is to bow to him and kneel before the Lord our Maker. Since he's the Maker, that means he not only creates all things and has created them, but he ordains all things. He sustains all things. He orders all things. There's not a change of degree in temperature but what he has ordered. And yet, what's the biggest thing that people complain about is, man, it feels cold today. Well, the Lord ordered it, so we praise him. And that's not just with the lips. It's a bowing. It's a submission to the Lord in all things, whether the day is going as we imagined or not. But even in matters of spiritual matters, a heart, look in Ephesians chapter 3, 13. The Apostle Paul expressed it. The Spirit of God directed Paul to write these words. Notice in verse 13 of Ephesians 3, he says, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. You talk about a man who was subjected to all types of opposition and persecution and suffering for the gospel's sake. Even that pales compared to the Lord Jesus Christ. But as his servant, Paul was subjected to many tribulations because of the gospel. Ephesians 3 in verse 13. Verse 14 says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the expression there. And when you see for this cause, he is being brought to bow through tribulation. In the bulletin today, I wrote or put in an article by a writer. And when you see the title, Led by the Spirit, you're thinking primarily in terms of the Word and the Spirit directing the heart to Christ. But he aptly brings out in there that we're led by the Spirit even in temptations. Even as Christ was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. Led by the Spirit with regard to God's providence, his providential leadings and dealings. The Spirit is not absent in these things. And if the Spirit is there, it means God is directing. And if God is directing, then he's worthy of praise. And the response to that is, as we see here with Paul, bowing of the knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. It's being brought to see that, as I've said before, this universe is not turning around us. Sometimes we get that mindset, like, how come I'm having such a bad day? It's like it's all about me. You know, that things shouldn't be going this way because I'm the center of my little world here. And no, we're not. That's where it's out of perspective. Everything turns around the Son, S-O-N, and is to his honor and glory, in whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. There is a particular family in heaven and earth that Christ has redeemed, that God the Father has given to the Son, and that the Spirit is working to draw. And we might feel the ripple effects, perhaps, of what the Lord is doing over here to move somebody into a place where he has purposed they be, that they be drawn to Christ, and we may never know about it. But it doesn't matter. God is the chief orchestrator of all things, and therefore we bow to him. That's another word that's used. There's a fifth word that is used with regard to praise, and it's a word that is used to shout, literally to lift your voice unto the Lord, to give him praise for what he has done and even what he is going to do. Now, we usually shout when we get excited, but this is not just an emotion. I've often said that emotion alone is not salvation. People get emotional all the time. It doesn't mean they're saved. But true salvation is not without emotion. When the Lord is pleased to do a work of grace in a sinner's heart, it affects us, mind, will, and emotion. And so again, to shout unto the Lord, to praise the Lord, to lift up your voice unto the Lord is very much a form of worship, form of praise. Look over in Psalm 98 and verse 7. You know, the scriptures say, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. That's in Psalm 100 and verse 1. And certainly think of a victory. People do it for a football game. You know, they're just, they go ballistic, yelling and shouting because something has happened. Now, would that we would have the same heart to give the glory to God for his mercies and for his grace. Here in Psalm 98 and verse 7, it says, let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. But notice the verse previous, with trumpets and sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. So it's comparing the roar of the sea and the fullness thereof with the, again, expression of the heart to the Lord. Why should this heart be quiet before the Lord? Let a joyful noise be made before the Lord for all of his goodness. And that's why in the Old Testament, many times you see the commandment was given even the children of Israel in taking the land of Canaan to shout before the Lord. It was a way of acknowledging him in all things. A sixth form of praise, the word that is used, has to do with playing an instrument that glorifies the Lord. If you look in Psalm 150, this is how it's described. I know there are some that argue whether or not we ought to have musical instruments accompanying our music. Well, again, it's not the instrument, but it's how it's used. It's how it's played. I've seen some particular performances, and that's all they are, performances, where the instrument is what attention is turned to. And when it's all said and done, people remark, my, you know how to play that whatever well. That's not the purpose of worship. Instruments ought to be played to accompany our music. And that's how we see it used here in Psalm 150. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. So whether it's an instrument you blow, or whether it's an instrument that is played on 10 strings, or whatever it is. Verse 4 says, praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise you, the Lord. So, again, we need the Lord's wisdom and direction here. And I like good instrumental music. I like when different ones bring those instruments and play them before the Lord. It adds to the harmony as a congregation that gives praise unto the Lord. But it's not about the instruments. It's about the words that we sing back to the Lord and about worshiping Him, praising Him in that means. I love what one of our members was asked when years ago she first started attending here, coming from a congregation where a lot of focus was put upon choirs and singing. And so her acquaintances asked her, well, in that congregation where you are now, do they have a choir? They thought that that would be why she would have switched congregations from where she was attending to here. Now, we know that she came because the Lord drew her to hear the gospel, but her acquaintances didn't understand that. They thought it has to be that she's found a better choir and that she's singing in that choir. But I love the answer she gave them. She says, yes, we do have a choir. The whole congregation sings. I love that. Doesn't require any practice. It doesn't require any special times afterward. We come and together we blend our voices. There's no special performance. I'm thankful for every person that's ever picked up an instrument and played here. We've had violins and cellos and we've had the organ and the other things, but you know, we can still sing without them. That's what's important, is lifting up our voices together in praise to God. The important thing is what we sing. I'm thankful it says make joyful noise unto the Lord, because that's how I often feel about standing up here and leading and singing. It's not easy. We don't want the attention on ourselves. We want the glory to be to the Lord. And that's the expression there. And then the final word that is used for praise, and this might be something we feel a little bit uncomfortable with just because of our upbringing. But again, it has to be tempered by the Spirit. And the word has to do with singing and shouting and dancing and clapping and rejoicing before the Lord. As the scripture says, all things in moderation. It's not a performance. This is not something to be done to be seen of men. If that's it, then it's false worship. And in all of these, if you ask me what's the common denominator, it's a revelation of who God is in truth, that He is seated on the throne. And if with men such as presidents, you have the pomp and circumstance that signals the arrival of that president, why would we cheapen in any way how it is we approach our Lord, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and how we worship Him? I believe it all is tempered by the Spirit of God and is what God Himself has instructed us as to how we're to approach Him, but always through a mediator. It's not the instruments that give us access to God. There had to be the blood sacrifice. That's what the mercy seat is about. That's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and His death. Everything about our praise to the Lord is tempered by this, that we come through the mediator. And we come through the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ alone.
You've been listening to the Grace Abounding broadcast brought to you by the congregation of the Shreveport Grace Church in Shreveport, Louisiana. We meet at 2970 Baird Road and invite you to join us each Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.shrevegrace.org or call 318-687-4943. Please plan to join us again next week.